League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Everybody, welcome to the final episode of Radio Labyrinth, final episode of season six, that is, as we say goodbye to 2021 and welcome 2022. I am all stuffed up, so I apologize for that if you have to hear it.
Stuffy Stufferson.
Yeah, Stuffy Stufferson. I don't know what the fuck is going on. I've had three tests, all negative, and I'm still fucking sick. Still,
you can't get pregnant, Tim. So stop peeing on those sticks, man.
I pee on sticks. But the thing is, it's bullshit. The goddamn fucking weather. It's 70 goddamn fucking degrees. It's like goddamn spring. Everything's like melted and muddy, and all the shits everywhere. So that could be it. Could be a cold. Who the hell knows? I'm just tired of it. I hate doing the show this way. So I apologize right off the bat for being negative, but it sucks. Absolutely fucking sucks. I hate it. And I would much rather have it be like 25 degrees every day and arid than humid and 70 degrees. It sucks.
It is Georgia. So all you got to do is wait a week. And literally this week, I think from a week from now, it's supposed to turn winter.
I know. And everybody's going insane. What a way to end the year with everybody going crazy. They're all shutting everything down and, you know, Omicron. You know, unless the tests I have are faulty, like I said, I had three of them, all of them negative. I had one that you bought at the store, which you can't find anywhere now. And then I had one that, you know, I sat in that line for 2 hours. I got there at 6:20, and then at 8:20 they took you. That was a PCR test. That one was negative. And then I went on Christmas Eve day, I went to my doctor's office and got a rapid test in the morning, which was also negative. So who knows? Who the fuck knows? I don't know. You guys haven't had it. No, well, Dustin had it. Jeff, you've never had it. You're boosted.
So I'm ready to get mine now that I'm over everything. I can get my booster.
Yeah, I can't get mine until my cold goes away.
Right. I was waiting for the right amount of time. Plus, after feeling bad for like almost a month, I don't want to like jump back into feeling bad for another week from getting the shot. But it'll be getting it again, though. That's for sure.
They say people that have all the shots and had it are like the most immune of anybody.
It works for me. It's
super immunity, people.
It's no fun.
Well, I hope this is it. I hope this is the last one. I noticed they're cutting back the quarantine time to 5 days. Who knows? I won't talk about it anymore. Year's over. We'll see what happens.
Because there's no fucking workers already. They're like, oh, we'll just take COVID workers now.
Yeah, no shit. This is our wrap up where we talk about the best and worst of 2021. And we say goodbye to a lot of the people who seem to have left the earth one way or the other in this previous year. First off, I saw that you posted a couple of lists, the best and worst movies of 2021. I looked at the list. I didn't see any of them. So we're not going to talk about it. There's 10 movies on there. I didn't see one of them. But EW did do the 10 best shows. And we can go through that real quick, whether we saw them or not. Dr. Death, which was on Peacock. Did you guys watch that show? That's number 10.
That was the one that looked like it was filmed on Lifetime Channel, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was awful.
Yeah.
I thought you were into that. That's why
I watched it. I watched it with my wife. She liked the podcast, and I watched the whole series with her because she watched it. It's one of those shows that had a really good cast. I mean, the cast was amazing. Christian Slater, Alec Baldwin, Joshua Jackson, and it was a cool story, but it was like made by like some girl on her first week at film school. It was just terrible. Awful. So
why didn't Alec Baldwin shoot her?
I don't know why. I mean, he's Actor Death. That's the next series, that's the follow up. Actor Death. So number 10, according to EW, is Dr. Death. Number 9, Dope Sick on Hulu. Everybody liked it, but I had no interest in watching it.
I'm going to watch it eventually because I like Michael Keaton so much, but
yeah,
it feels like it's going to be work.
Yeah, yeah. Coming in at number 8 is a show we all watched, Squid Game on Netflix. Season 2 is in the works, and I just read today that season 3 may be happening. So,
yeah, he's talking to Netflix about doing season 3.
Yeah, congratulations to Hwang Dong-hyuk.
You guys start watching Silent Sea yet? That's the new Korean.
I watched one episode of it.
Number 7 from TBS. It's called Chad, starring Nassim Pirad.
That was hilarious.
Yeah, I watched the first episode, thought it was funny, but I never got back into it.
Watch all of them. They were.
I like Nassim Pirad, though. Yeah,
I like her, too.
Number 6. Oh, this is one I forgot about, but I really enjoyed. I guess it's not very memorable, but I really liked it. Midnight Mass, which was on Netflix. It was sort of in the vein of Salem's Lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was one of my top ones of the year. Tired.
Yeah,
I enjoyed it.
Number 5, The Other Two on HBO Max. Didn't watch it.
That show's hilarious also.
That the brother and sister thing?
Yeah, where the brother's famous and the brother and the sister of the famous kid tried to ride his coattails.
Yeah, I have no relation to that one whatsoever.
Season 3 of Succession comes in at number 4. On the EW Best and Worst of TV 2021. That is, of course, on HBO. I haven't watched it, but I know everybody loves it, so I'll get to it.
I love that show. I just couldn't get into it.
No? You watched the other one, right? You watched the
Billions.
Number 3, Hacks on HBO Max. That's like in my top 5 of the year. I love that show. It was very, very well done. Gene Smart, Hannah Einbinder, who is Lorraine Newman's daughter.
Yep.
Show Paramount Plus's The Good Fight with Mandy Patinkin. That comes in at number 2. Didn't watch that.
No, I didn't either, but I like Mandy Patinkin.
Yeah, me too. And at number 1, FX's original show, Reservation Dogs, which was a really, really awesome show. If you didn't get a chance to watch it, go back and find it. It's on Hulu. For Native American, whatever. What are you supposed to say?
I don't know. First Nation.
Whatever. Native Americans living on an Indian reservation. It's, you know, sort of loosely themed based off of Reservoir Dogs. That's where the name comes from. But as you watch the show, it's very emotional, very heartfelt. It's a great show and very sad at points. So,
and very funny too.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's all over the place. Let's see. What do they have? The 3 worst. Clarice. Yeah, I watched, I think, half hour of the first episode. Garbage.
I watched 4 episodes and yeah, it didn't get any better.
No, it's a terrible CBS crime procedural about Clarice Starling from the Silence of the Lambs universe, but for some reason they couldn't use. Who weren't they allowed to use?
Hannibal.
They couldn't use Hannibal or Lecter or anything involving that character.
What's the fucking point? Get out of here with that shit. Miss me with that, as the children say. American Horror Stories FX on Hulu. Not into it.
Same thing. 3 episodes, and yeah, it was a bad take on Midnight Mass. It was like trying hard to be set in the same place, almost.
I didn't even watch any of them this time, and I don't feel bad about it.
Yes,
because normally I watch like the first half, and then like fuck this, and just delete them off my DVR.
I think they've had their run. I think time to pack that show up.
And the worst show, according to EW. James Corden on Friends, The Reunion.
Yeah, that just turned into a cluster.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the reunion aspect, but James Corden was silly.
Yeah, I know. not into it. So we're going to do, each of us has picked five shows. This will probably be some overlapping, but our five top shows of 2021. Jeff, why don't you go first?
Mine were The Nevers. That was really good.
That was a great show.
That HBO show. Cruel Summer came out of nowhere. That what was the name of that network it's on? It's
no, it wasn't Quibi, but it was like Quibi.
Yeah, it's one of those weird networks. I forget what it's called.
They had Kevin's daughter and Kevin Smith's daughter.
Kevin Smith's daughter's in it, and the story was really good, really twisty. Didn't see the ending coming. All that stuff. It was very good. Hacks was one of my top five. Really enjoyed that show. I looked forward to it every week. White Lotus was one of my top five. Everyone was great in that. And Stifler's mom was fantastic.
Yeah, Jennifer, what's her name?
Jennifer Coolidge, yeah. And Foundation on Apple TV, I put in my top five. Just because I had never read anything or read any of the books or knew any of the stuff, but so much of everything that sci-fi today is based on that or takes aspects from it.
Really? I didn't know that.
Good. Yeah. And Jared Harris comes back eventually, spoiler alert.
I assumed he did. Yeah.
Yeah. So they kind of played him up as being the big star of the series. And then he was
like Sam Neill in Invasion.
Yeah. Sam Neill in Invasion. He's in it
for five fucking minutes.
Yeah. He flew in for 3 days of shooting and got his paycheck and left.
Those are my top five.
All right. My top five are Hacks. You made Jeff's. Everybody liked that show. The White Lotus again was a brilliant show. Squid Game, Only Murders in the Building, and coming in. I was debating on what to pick for. I couldn't think of it. There were so many good shows. I loved Midnight Mass, a couple other shows, but 1883, man, that show is really, really good. If you haven't had a chance to watch it, check it out.
I don't have Paramount Plus. I'd love to watch. I heard Sam Elliott's in it, and
yeah, he's good. He tries to kill himself in the first episode.
Tom Hanks. Oh,
this is the
Yellowstone spinoff.
Yellowstone prequel. Okay.
Yeah, what's weird about the show is, and I didn't know this until I turned it on. I had no clue. It's Tim McGraw and Faith Hill. They're husband and wife in real life, but they're husband and wife on the trail. Tom Hanks has a cameo in, I think, the first or second episode. I can't remember. But he's really good as a Union general. Who captures Tim McGraw's character. Of course, you have Sam Elliott. It's a good show. I would give it a shot. But I don't know how directly it is related to Yellowstone, which we're going to start watching probably pretty soon.
I remember telling you that I thought you'd be into Yellowstone when it first started.
Yeah, what's it like, Sopranos on the High Plains?
I don't know. And Kevin Costner, you like him. Yeah,
I love Kevin Costner.
Yeah.
So those are my top five. Dustin?
Let's see, my top five, Squid Game, just, you know, it was great. It was unique. And during the pandemic, it just kind of struck a chord with, you know, the world, it seemed like. But you could definitely see why. It was a really good story. And I'm glad that, you know, we're getting some fresh blood into Hollywood with this show. So
I read that one of the reasons that a lot of these Asian shows are doing so well is because people are sick and tired of all the wokeism in our shows. I don't know.
Yeah. I saw an article too, where, you know, it seems like the rest of the world is so sick of the woke culture coming from America, especially through Hollywood.
Right.
Yeah. They're purposefully turning away from it, which is, you know, kind of a relief.
Good.
The next one, The Nevers, again, great show. Can't wait for the next season. It just, you know, it seemed to just open up right at the end of the season. Yeah. So, and completely, I didn't expect that flip that happened right at the end. So it'd be neat to see how they're going to take that forward. Invincible, the cartoon, that was really good. Couldn't wait to, you know, see the next, you know, every, you know, the episodes and kind of space them out. So I wasn't running through them so quick. And I've ended up watching that one twice. Resident Alien. Jeff, you recommended that one and you were right on. That was Alan Tudyk is probably, you know, one of my favorite actors, probably in the top five favorite actors. And this is just a, you know, a soapbox for him to stand on and just, you know, and be great. And he's hilarious. And it's, you know, it's kind of creepy. And it has like an X-Files kind of tinge to it, but comedic at the same time. So that's really good. And the new season of it starts in late January. So we'll get a second season of that. And Midnight Mass, again, it was so close to, well, it's from a Stephen King lover's mind. So I knew I would like it to begin with, but I didn't realize how much Stephen King had influenced him until, you know, I was able to get through all of it. And that was probably one of my favorite surprises of the year, for sure. That's my
favorite. MacGruber almost made my list. That's going to be in my top 10.
MacGruber.
Yeah. I burned through the entire series of MacGruber already. It was hilarious.
When did it start?
Came out like last week.
Last week. Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing. All right. Well, thank you guys. Let us know what you guys think. We have it on our social media, or you can tweet us at @radio_labyrinth, or just go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/radiolabyrinth, or the Radio Labyrinth Radio Shack. You can find or comment right here on the YouTube video if you like. That's, we have comments available, we leave them on. Remember to like and subscribe, and we're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back and talk about the celebrities we're no longer around.
Who died?
Hey, who died?
What's wrong? Who died?
What happened? Who died?
Jeez, who died?
Who died?
Who died? Run the montage of people who died this year until I get back.
The year 2021 saw a lot of people disappearing. Well, we won't debate why some of them have passed. We know that some of them passed from old age. We know some of them passed from being sick. Some of them passed for whatever reason, but they're not with us anymore. People who affected us, you know, in pop culture. People we grew up being celebrities and being always in our faces, whether we turned on the television or whether we read about them in the paper and so on and so forth.
I try to keep the list up to date, but if we forgot anybody, we're sorry.
Write
a letter to the Television Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences.
Yeah, and tell them that your podcast friends. So, well, they're in alphabetical order. Atlanta legend, but baseball legend, Hall of Famer, the home run king, Hank Aaron, passed away at the age of 87 years old. He, of course, 755 career home runs. He beat Babe Ruth's record of 714 a long, long time ago in the early 70s, mid-70s or whatever it was. And in my opinion, he is the still the home run king because Barry Bonds, I don't know, played longer. I don't know. A lot of people hate Barry Bonds. I don't hate Barry Bonds. And it's all based on the fact that I met him and he was nice to me. So I can't hate him.
I think he was a player before people were juicing too.
Who?
Hank Aaron.
So oh, yeah.
All of his stuff is clean. I mean, as far as his record. So
they played when they were hurt. They played when they had a cold. They played a lot. You know, pitchers back then would start 35 games a year. And, you know, sometimes they'd win 30. Denny McClain is the last pitcher to do it, but he won 30 games. But you had guys like Bob Gibson who would come out for the Cardinals. You know, he'd come out and pitch complete games, just tons of them. He'd pitch well into the eighth, ninth inning. So I don't know what the deal is now. But it doesn't matter. Hank Aaron, rest in peace. And you were great on Happy Days, my friend. Of course, he was on Happy Days when he played for the Milwaukee Braves, but he was well since retired, but young enough looking to appear on Happy Day. Veteran actor, completely in our wheelhouse our entire lives. Ed Asner passed away at the age of 91, played Lou Grant on Mary Tyler Moore and then also on the drama series Lou Grant, among other things. He's in, isn't he Santa Claus and Elf?
Yeah.
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 And there's tons and tons of appearances, movies and television.
And voice work, a lot of voice work towards the end of his life, too. He was he was in Up. He was the old man in Up.
Yep.
Oh, God, what a great dude. Let's see. Ned Beatty passed away this year at the age of 83 years old. Ned Beatty, of course, got raped by a hillbilly over a log.
Mr. Luthor?
Yeah, he did not get raped by Mr. Luthor. He got raped by a toothless hillbilly on a log. But he did all sorts of other things after that. He was Dean Martin in Back to School.
Now, let me get this straight, Mr. Mellon.
In my defense, it was a very large check. He was Dan Connor's father on Roseanne. And, of course, he was in tons of things. He was a good actor and, of course, did a lot more memorable roles than just being raped on a log in Deliverance. And let you just drop them pants. Frank Bonner passed away at the age of 79 years old. Frank Bonner, most famous for playing Herb Tarlick on WKRP in Cincinnati. And I can't think of anything else he was in. Didn't he play a priest in something?
He did a few guest spots on other shows and stuff, but
right.
I think the only thing people really know him from is WKRP.
Well, he was great in that role with his loud suits.
Yeah.
And based off of a sales guy who used to work at and run eventually Star 94 and Quixie Radio in Atlanta, both.
He did also play in that Saved by the Bell, the new class. He was the new Mr. Belding.
Oh.
In that he was the principal for that short run series.
Well, I'm shocked I didn't know that.
I didn't watch the new class one.
I didn't watch the old one.
I haven't watched the reboot either. I heard they did a tribute to our next guy or one our guy coming up.
Yep. Sonny Chiba? Why would they do that? Sonny Chiba was on Saved by the Bell. He played the Asian martial arts instructor and taught them how to make Hanzai swords. No, Sonny Chiba, martial arts film star and among other things, passed away in 82. But you're right, Dustin Diamond, who was Screech, 44 years of age, passed away. What did he die of? Drugs?
No, he had cancer.
He had cancer, very aggressive cancer, and they found it in the fourth stage. So, yeah, he didn't have much time when he found it.
Oh, that sucks. I liked him. I met him one time, and he was very nice to me. So that's how I judge people. Famous. If I've met them and they were nice to me, then I particularly give them a thumbs up. DMX, who I never met but I liked, passed away at the age of 50. And guys like DMX, who's my age, but I always thought he was older than me. And that might have to do with the fact that he was fit and more of an alpha male than I'll ever be. So that was kind of... Anyway, but what did he had health problems. He had health problems.
Yeah. Yeah. He had multiple health problems to the point that he wasn't performing, for the last year, almost 2 years.
Nothing kept Bob Dole from performing, and that's why Viagra. Remember, he was one of the first people to take Viagra. Former senator and presidential candidate Bob Dole died at the age of 98 years old. He had the good adrenochrome that. That you get when you run for president. Pop culture wise, if he ran for president a lot of times, but most notably, he challenged Clinton in 96. And he was in the zeitgeist right at that time when politics really peaked and became something that was a part of entertainment constantly, unfortunately. At least back then, it was entertaining. Richard Donner, who directed Superman and Superman 2, I believe.
Yeah,
among other things.
Lethal Weapon, yeah.
Yes, very prolific and talented director, Richard Donner. Smut peddler and wheelchair riding Larry Flint.
Mr. Made it Hunter. To 78.
They couldn't get me when I was in Lawrenceville. I had to move. I was at the courthouse in Lawrenceville, Georgia, and they shot me.
Rest in peace, smut peddler Larry Flint. Good movie, though, wasn't it? With Willie
Harrelson.
Woody Harrelson. Yeah, great movie. Willie Garson, 57 years old, passed away. Who's Willie Garson?
Sex in the City.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that was one of those weird, like, what did he die of?
He had pancreatic cancer, I think.
Yeah.
He did? Oh, yeah. That sucks, man. He was funny.
He was hilarious in Kingpin. He plays the guy that he pays to rob the landlady and throws coffee in his face.
Yeah.
Holy shit, I forgot that was him. You got anything to read? I think I got a shampoo bottle.
Here, use this shampoo.
New and improved. I read this already. You got any new Mentadent?
Yeah, man, that is such a funny movie. If you've never seen that movie, go out and rent it right now. Or, I don't know, find it streaming. Charles Grodin passed away at the age of 86 years old. You guys remember Charles Grodin, one of the members of one of my favorite films of all time, Midnight Run, to pass away last year. We'll be talking about another one soon. But not only that, Charles Grodin, before he was a cantankerous talk show host, was a friggin' awesome talk show guest and a very talented actor. And I'm not talking about the Beethoven movies. I'm talking about he had quite a career. I think the first thing you see him in is Rosemary's Baby.
Yeah, plays the doctor.
Yeah, he plays a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
That she goes to for a second opinion, and then he rats her out.
Kissing up to his mentor is all he was doing.
Right. But a fantastic actor and, you know, pretty interesting talk show host. But he is in that 90s again, where things like MSNBC got into politics and it was like, ugh. ZZ Top's Dusty Hill passed away at the age of 72. That was pretty sad. Hal Holbrook, 95 years old. That guy lived a good long time. And he was a fine actor, Hal Holbrook.
Had a great voice, too. His Southern accent is just almost, when you think of a Southern accent, you think of his Southern accent.
You're getting really close. I can't do him. But he's in All the President's Men. He's fantastic. His deep throat.
He kept it right in the flame until his flesh was burned. Somebody said, "What's the trick?" And Letty said, "The trick is not minding."
And when Mark Felt finally came out, he looked like Mark Felt.
Yeah.
Back then. But of course, he was married to Dixie Carter for years from Designing Women. And she was also the lady that married Mr. Drummond and brought that horrible kid, Daniel Cooksey, to Different Strokes. But we can't blame that on Hal Holbrook. I think one of the last things he did was The Sopranos, when Tony was shot by Uncle Junior and they were all in the ward at the hospital together. Do you remember that?
Yeah. And he was doing that Mark Twain show pretty much right up until he died.
Oh, yeah. He was fantastic at that. See, Greg Shock G Jacobs. He's the one that put the satin on your panties, passed away. Shock G from Digital. What was it? Digital Underground, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, 57 years old, man. That guy was cool. Those songs were great.
He was genius in his marketing campaign for his look, too. He used that fake plastic nose, and that just bred like all this mystery and urban legend behind. He was burned by acid, and like that was all this stuff we heard growing up about him. But really, he just tried to get away from his other acts that he had already created before he started Digital Underground, so he didn't know who he was. But yeah,
I called you fat. Look at me, I'm skinny. That never stopped me from getting busy. I know, he says, "I once got busy in a Burger King bathroom." I love that song. Atlanta, Georgia. You're on the phone.
And we're going to switch to that story right now.
Larry King passed away at the age of 87. Worked right up until the very end. And that's why I loved Larry King. I got into him in the 80s when that show premiered. And I always liked watching it. Even back then, you know, when you wouldn't think a kid who's 15, 16 years old would want to sit and watch Larry King talk to somebody. But most influential to me, of course, was his radio show. I loved his radio show. I loved listening to him so late at night talking over the airwaves on an AM signal. And those days are long gone, but Larry King worked right up till the very end, 87 years old. Speaking of actors from Midnight Run, we had talked about Charles Grodin, but Yaphet Kotto passed away at the age of 81. He's Agent Mosley from the FBI. let your cigarettes around this guy, Jack.
What, Parker and Alien?
Yeah, just an amazing actor and a huge presence. Wasn't he also in The Running Man?
Yep. Yeah, he was in The Running Man. What, television? He did Homicide.
Yeah.
Life on the Street.
Rest in peace, sir. Art LaFleur. Art LaFleur passed away. You might not recognize the name, but if you Google him, you'll completely recognize who we're talking about. He passed away at 78 years old in Field of Dreams, among other movies. And speaking of baseball, we lost baseball legend Tommy Lasorda at the age of 94. He was the manager of the Los Angeles Dodgers for years and years and years. I watched him lose to the Yankees twice, beat the Yankees once. And I forget how many World Series he won, but he was in quite a few of them, and he was flamboyant. And if you go to YouTube, you can find all sorts of videos of him screaming and using expletives and yelling at people.
Trying to make him take Slim Fast.
Yeah, he did those commercials. He was the baseball wizard on This Week in Baseball or whatever. One of those shows, maybe the one with Johnny Bench. I don't remember. There was a show that Johnny Bench hosted about baseball for kids, and Tommy Lasorda played the wizard. But if you can find those videos where the pitcher doesn't want to come out of the game, he goes, I don't give a shit. I'm the fucking manager. They're a lot of fun. Cloris Leachman passed away at the age of 94. She was a fantastic actress. She had been involved in so many movies and television shows over the years, and a very prolific career. If you listen to Gilbert Gottfried from a couple weeks ago, the guy who did the movie Bad Santa talks about how she always wanted to get naked all the time, even at that advanced age. So a couple of former radio people, one involved in Watergate, G. Gordon Liddy, passed away at the age of 90 years old. G. Gordon Liddy, of course, involved in the Watergate scandal.
You met him and he was nice to you.
I did meet him. I met him twice. One time I met him, I gave him a Nazi salute, called him a fascist, trying to impress Abby Hoffman. And then I went up to him to have him sign my poster, and he went, hi, young man. And then I met him at a radio convention in 1997 and told him that I had done that. And he goes, well, I apologized, and he said, well, thank you, blah, 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 blah. It doesn't matter. But he was interesting. He was a very interesting radio host, because not only did he talk politics, but he knew a lot about a lot. And if you could get away from the fact that he worked for the Nixon administration and was in charge of the Watergate break-in and stuff like that, he was an interesting cat. Rush Limbaugh, huge. Passed away at the age of 70. Rush Limbaugh was one of the people that saved AM radio. And whether you liked him or not, he was a very polarizing person, but you could always listen to the show. I could. And I listened to it when I hated any kind of conservative thought whatsoever. And I listened to him later on in life. Whatever, it doesn't matter. I'm not saying what I am politically. It doesn't even fucking matter these days. But what I'm saying is that he was a good broadcaster and he knew how to do it. And his loss he was one of those guys that was irreplaceable. And that's all I'm going to say about that. John Madden, another broadcaster who started out as a football player but ended up hurting himself or getting hurt. So he became a coach and he had a lot of successful seasons. Doesn't he have the highest winning percentage of all time, John Madden?
Yeah, possibly.
Yeah, I believe so.
As a coach, he was a longtime broadcaster with CBS and then Fox. He worked for years with Pat Summerall. Those two voices together for all those years were amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, not to mention the impact he had on pop culture. He was basically the Tommy Lasorda of football.
Yeah,
for sure. And, you know, the series of video games that he had with his name on them. I mean, he's synonymous with football. I guarantee you most of the kids today had no idea he was a player or a coach.
Yeah. I mean, he ended up, but his last broadcasting job was with Al Michaels on Sunday Night Football. And then he retired and was replaced by Chris Collinsworth.
Afraid to fly. He never flew.
No, I love that about him.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good, if you want it, you can watch him. There's tons of great videos of of Madden and Summerall doing games. I just watched one before the show started from the 87 Super Bowl. Or was it 86? I think it was 87, right, Jeff, when the Giants beat the Broncos?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, where they're, now here's the dad bucket and the mom bucket, and now they got another bucket over here, and they're getting the Giants kick the shit out of them. Then there's another one, I think it's another Giants game, where there's a bird that lands on the field and goes, oh, somebody threw a shoe. Oh, that's a bird. There's lots of great clips of him on there, but also you can watch Frank Caliendo, who is the only person I've ever heard do a fantastic, perfect John Madden impression.
I've been watching Frank Caliendo's TikTok to see if he's going to do something.
He hasn't.
Not yet, he hasn't.
Yeah, he's probably taken his, 72 hours of silence.
Now they could keep doing the video game with Frank Caliendo doing voice if they need to.
Well, yeah. Madden doesn't do the voices on it anymore, I don't believe.
But I don't know. I haven't played it in a couple of years.
If they need Madden for anything voice-wise, yeah. Caliendo can definitely take that. No problem. That
one where he came out on Letterman and was just John Madden the entire time. Yeah. A comedy legend, two comedy legends here. Jackie Mason, age of 93, passed away. Stand-up comedian, blacklisted from Ed Sullivan because Ed Sullivan thought he flipped him off, which he didn't do. And just so many great stories about this guy. Jackie Mason, very talented, very funny, very influential. 93 years old. Certainly the biggest blow to me this year was the next person who passed away, Norm MacDonald, at the age of 61. But he went out the way that a lot of people wish they could go out. Didn't tell anybody he was sick. His best friends didn't even know that he had had cancer and he finally lost that battle. But 61 years old and just amazing. His impact on comedy, on us, having seen him a couple times, met him, very nice guy, very funny. Anyway, rest in peace, Norm. Eddie Mecca, 69 years old, passed away. Eddie Mecca, who we all know as
Carmine Ragusa, the big ragu.
The big ragu. Also, wasn't he on Blansky's Beauties?
Yeah.
Did he play Carmine on that? Wasn't that a spinoff?
No, he played, because it was set in a different time, he played like Carmine's cousin or something.
Oh, okay. So Blansky's Beauties was in the future?
Yeah, I think that was maybe in the 70s.
Okay. I tried to watch an episode of that on YouTube. What a horrible show.
Oh, yeah. It was awful.
Yeah. Walter Mondale passed away, former senator and vice president. 93 years old. He was Jimmy Carter's vice president, most famously ran against Reagan in 84. Where's the beef?
Have the first female vice president.
Yeah, well, that was 1984. Geraldine Ferraro. 78-year-old Mike Nesmith passed away after completing a full tour with his other bandmates who are still alive. Well, just one. It was Mickey Dolenz is the remaining monkey. Mike Nesmith. So one of the monkeys passed away at the age of 78 years old. There are so many stories. I love the monkeys. They love the show. We talked about it recently. So rest in peace, Mike. Helen McCrory. Who's Helen McCrory?
That was the dude from Billions' wife.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I know who she is. Holy shit. She wasn't very old.
No. That's why he quit Billions, so he could.
She was married to Damian Lewis.
Yeah, Damian Lewis. That's why I couldn't think of his name.
Okay, well, damn. Oh, man. It's weird when they go at our age. We won't be saying that much longer. But Christopher Plummer passed away at the age of 91. I hope he took all of his bait magazines with him.
She's as pure as she can be. Bait and clean as driven snow. Here we go.
That's a reference to Dragnet, but Christopher Plummer, of course, is probably better known for replacing Kevin Spacey. Didn't they digitally put him in instead of Kevin Spacey in a movie, or did they reshoot everything?
No, they went back and did reshoots on all that. Yeah. Okay.
But not even that. Of course, he's in Sound of Music. Hair in a Can, Set It and Forget It, the rotisserie chicken, the pocket fisherman, the pocket pussy. Didn't invent that. But he may have.
Didn't his dad invent all that stuff and then he just kind of rode the coattails?
I don't know. He was a good showman. Ron Popeil passed away at the age of 86. I didn't know that his
dad. The Weird Al song is about his dad, right?
It is?
I think so. That's the only thing I know. That's the only thing I've heard about that. It's not about Ron Popeil, but it's about his dad.
Samuel J. Popeil?
Yeah, Mr. Popeil. I think he was the one that invented all that stuff, and then Ron just took over.
The Vegematic and the Pocket Fisherman?
Yeah.
Vegematic.
I bet you Ron Popeil didn't invent anything.
Yeah,
I think just a pitchman.
Yeah.
But it looks like Samuel J. Popeil did. Mr. Popeil! But definitely pop culture influence.
Yeah, he was everywhere when we were kids.
Yeah, he was Billy Mays before Billy Mays was there.
Yeah.
Anne Rice, prolific author, gave us The Vampire, all that vampire shit. Interview with a Vampire, she passed away at 80 years old. Former Charlie's Angels star and actress and model, Tanya Roberts, she passed away at the age of 65. As we go down this list, we lost Peter Scolari, who probably is best known for being on Bosom Buddies, but most recently was on a show that Dustin and I both liked called Evil.
Yep.
He played a priest, 66 years old.
And he was on Girls. Her dad.
Yep.
Newhart.
Yeah, Newhart.
George Segal passed away at the age of 87 from Just Shoot Me. Countless other things. Wasn't he on the Goldbergs?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a granddad. Grandfather on
it. Yeah.
Yeah. And of course, one of my favorite movies with Ben Stiller, Patricia Arquette, Mary Tyler Moore, Flirting with Disaster. He played one of the Schlichtings.
He's mentioned somewhat in that raised eyebrows Groucho book that I like so much.
Yeah.
I guess him and Bud Cort used to show up like uninvited at Groucho's house and just hang out with him.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Same age, but I always thought he was older. Willard Scott passed away at the age of 87, so he won't be mentioned on the Today Show when he turns 100. But he was buried with a bunch of Smuckers.
And he was the first Ronald McDonald.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was, before Ronald McDonald became the icon that it became, he was the one that first wore the makeup and suit.
Joe Saravo passed away. You might not know who that is. Probably best known as playing Tony Soprano's father in the original Sopranos series. Of course, he's John Bernthal, plays Johnny Boy Soprano in the Many Saints movie, but Joseph Saravo is really good in that role. First see him in the episode Down Neck from season one. Music producer and wackadoo Phil Spector passed away at the age of 81. Moving along, you know, Phil Spector produced a lot of stuff, Wall of Sound, all that stuff, but you know, ended up being a kind of a wackadoo at the end. Dean Stockwell, who everybody remembers from Quantum Leap and
Dune,
Star Galactica, Dune,
Blue Velvet.
Blue Velvet, yes. Creepy role in Blue Velvet. But a great actor. He passed away at the age of 85. Ziggy didn't see that coming. James Michael Tyler, 59 years old. He's on Friends.
He was Gunther on Friends.
Oh, Gunther.
Yeah. 96 years old. What a run. When you see people in their 90s, when they get over that 95, it's like you see people, oh, he's 90 years old. That's old. And you see 96, it's like, oh, they almost made 100. But Cicely Tyson, who was a very amazing actress and it was in a lot of television and films. So that's an amazing, I think, what was she in last that I saw her in? Scandal? No, How to Get Away with Murder, right? Yeah, she was in How to Get Away with Murder. Desmond Tutu, he was great in Star Wars. He passed away at the age of 90. He's a South African bishop in the Catholic Church. Bishop Tutu, wasn't he a cardinal eventually? Or yeah. Did he play for the Red Sox? I don't remember. Melvin Van Peebles passed away at the age of 89. Melvin Van Peebles was an actor, director, producer, Mario Van Peebles' father. Really interesting cat. Passed away at 89. Jean-Marc Vallée, 58 years old. Was he that director that just recently passed away?
Yep.
Yeah.
Jessica Walter from hundreds of things. Most recently, Arrested Development and, of course, Archer.
Archer, yeah.
She's really good in that Clint Eastwood film, Play Misty for Me, as a psychotic stalker. Fantastic. She was 80 years old. Charlie Watts, the drummer for the Rolling Stones, 80 years old, passed away, and they continued to tour without him, but it probably wasn't the same. But can you believe it? He made it. He toured with them from day one, never retired, stayed with them. So good on him. Michael K. Williams, 54 years old. Michael K. Williams, Chalky on Boardwalk Empire. Probably best known for being Omar on The Wire. Fantastic actor. If you see anything with him in it, you know it's going to be good because he chose good roles. He just had problems with substances, and that's terrible. And then last but not least, Clarence Williams III died at the age of 81. He was in movies and television for decades and, of course, was Link on Mod Squad. What a horrible name for a character, Link. That's our list of people who shuffled off the mortal coil in 2021. And, you know, if you liked any of those, go out and watch one of their movies. That's how they're going to live forever, is if people keep their memories on TV and film. You can find all of these TV shows and movies streaming someplace. If not, go download them illegally. But, you know, there's going to be people that 10 years from now, who was that? Who was that? Who was that? As we get more prolific, as things, you know, there's more streaming, more of this, more of that. There's probably going to be like 10 TikToks. You'll probably stick something in your butt and you'll experience a lifetime. Who knows? But we can't forget these people. So that's why they're important to us and important to other shows that are doing the same thing at the end of the year. So rest in peace.
Half Baked, if you want to see Clarence Williams III.
There you go.
That's a good one.
Yes. So thank you guys. It was a great year. We'll be back in a week for episode one from season 7. So until that time, please remember to keep it
canon.
Luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.